The U.S. Department of Justice on Monday sued to block AT&T's $85.4 billion takeover of TV and movie giant Time Warner Inc. The government's lawsuit claims the merger would put AT&T in a position to force TV rivals to pay more for video content. The suit also suggests the deal would let AT&T restrain the development of new video streaming businesses. In response, AT&T's lawyer called the lawsuit, quote, a radical and inexplicable departure from decades of antitrust precedent.
And this is just the latest in a string of deals Alibaba has done in offline. The big long-term strategy is that they want to use their colossal amounts of data that they have from e-commerce, combine it with the virtual world, with the offline world, make the consumer experience infinitely better, as well as streamline the inventory supply management. And this also gives Alibaba lead against what Walmart is doing with JD in China. They've been trying to turn around the business there, and now Alibaba also has a significant stake in this hypermarket world.
We're going to rebuild the United States. We have to rebuild the United States. We should be rebuilding it in a green, sustainable fashion where we create jobs all over the country, creating infrastructure that will last for 50 to 100 years. What we're doing instead is building the wrong things in the wrong places because they're there to be done.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning. It's 5:11, and today is Tuesday, November 21st. It's Dave Plyard for Steve Grzanich here on The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. This morning on The Bell, we'll take a peek at America's new potential tax reform with America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. And at 5:40, we'll look at the $20 billion toy industry and some of the safety issues to look out for with the top toys this holiday with the president of Watch, Joan Siff. All that coming up after we check the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning. Dow finished 72 points higher as Wall Street awaits tax reform details. In Europe, all the indices were mixed. Asia markets were trading higher following U.S. gains overnight. And oil prices were little changed as the impact from expectations of an extended OPEC-led production cut was canceled out by rising U.S. output. We have some business news happening around the world yesterday and overnight. Nestle is among the potential suitors exploring an acquisition of Hain Celestial, the owner of Health Valley Cereal and Terra Chips, has been working with Centerview Partners to explore a strategic review that could include a sale. Nestle has had conversations about buying the company as a whole or in parts. Shares of Hain, which has a market capitalization of $4.3 billion, spiked 7% before being halted in afternoon trading. The Department of Justice is suing to block AT&T's $85 billion deal to buy Time Warner. Time Warner shares began falling into the close on Wednesday, as news outlets began reporting the DOJ was planning a major antitrust action after the bell. The next step for the fate of the merger is in with the courts, with the DOJ now having to prove that the combination would violate the law. AT&T was quick to point out that the DOJ has not successfully blocked a so-called vertical merger in court for nearly 50 years. The activist hedge fund JANA Partners took an 8.7% stake in Bloomin' Brands, operator of Outback Steakhouse and other restaurants, calling it undervalued. Fund said it securities filing on Monday that it acquired the stake as of November 10th, making it Bloomin' Brands' second largest outside shareholder. Shares jumped 11% on Monday after the position was disclosed. In JANA's latest foray into the food and restaurant industry last week, the fund disclosed a 4.5% stake in quick service chain Jack in the Box. And if you think 2017 was a good year for the economy, 2018 will get even better, according to the latest Goldman Sachs forecast. The bank's economics estimate U.S. GDP growth will come in at 2.5% in 2018, up from the 2.2% forecast in 2017. In 2016, U.S. GDP grew at 1.6%. The major U.S. stock indexes are all trading around record levels, and tax reform is considered one of the crucial elements for amplified economic growth, which is a perfect segue to our first conversation this morning. Congressional Republicans left Capitol Hill late last week excited about the prospects for sweeping legislation which would deliver tax cuts and tax reform. As with approval of a U.S. House tax bill, the focus has shifted to the Senate and whether GOP leaders can gather the needed votes to approve a slightly modified GOP tax measure after Thanksgiving. And joining us this morning to talk about what it means for your pocketbook and your business is America's Money Answers Man for 18 years. Jordan Goodman was on the editorial staff of Money Magazine, where he served as Wall Street correspondent. In addition, he served as weekly financial analyst on NBC News at Sunrise and is the co-author and author of 13 best-selling books on personal finance. And Jordan Goodman joins us this morning. Good morning, Jordan.
Welcome. Nice to be with you, Dave.
You know, there are seven tax brackets right now in today's individual tax code. The Senate bill also calls for seven, but changes the rate on taxable income. The House bill, by contrast, only calls for four brackets. Talk to us about what the House bill, as it stands, will do for the consumer.
Well, it would mean higher income people would have a lot less taxes to pay when it comes down to.
Yeah.
The bracket rates come down, but the brackets are expanded dramatically. I'll just give you one example, Dave. So the top bracket now is 39.6%, which kicks in at $410,000 in income. That would move up to $1 million. So that means $600,000 more in income would be taxed at 35% instead of 39.6%. So, I mean, there's a lot of different brackets, but that just gives you one big example. So roughly a 5% cut on $600,000 of income is going to save a lot of money for a lot of high-income people. The vast majority of the dollars in this tax cut go to higher income people and corporations. It's not an opinion, it's just a fact. They talk about a middle class tax cut and they get something. But I mean, that top person might get $200,000 in tax savings and the average person might get $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, something like that.
Now, about three quarters of U.S. households would see tax cuts in 2019 under the Senate's tax bill, while 8.5% would pay more. Now, this bill gives Americans, obviously, some more money to take home in the Senate bill as well. But what else does it have in it, and what does it mean for the individual taxpayer under the Senate bill?
Well, some deductions and credits that we're used to would be going away, partly because the standard deduction would be doubling from roughly $12,000 to $24,000 per family, meaning about 85 to 90% of people would not itemize anymore. They just use the standard deduction. So that's good, but it also means that deductions for mortgage interest, student loan interest, medical expenses, property taxes, things like that would go away. So that's a big change from what we've been used to, and particularly in high tax and high property value states like Illinois. That's going to hurt you more. And California and New York, the high cost, high tax states are going to get hurt by this, because one of the major, in both the House and the Senate bill, state and local income taxes would not be deductible anymore. In the House bill, up to $10,000 in property taxes would be deductible, but both of them wipe out the deduction for state income taxes. So a high-tax state like in Illinois would get hurt.
And you said large tax cuts would be passed along to the rich while raising taxes on American families earning $10,000 to $75,000 over the next decade. Now, over that time, though, the Senate bill's individual tax cuts would expire after 2025 while the corporate tax cuts continue, correct?
Would made permanent, correct. In both sides, the corporate rate coming down from 35% to 20% would be made permanent. That is correct. But to make this fit into the budget that they've got about how much the deficit can go up, the individual tax cuts all expire at the end of 2025. I mean, they're saying they'd be renewed, but who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Sure.
But that is correct. I mean, the idea is that companies have to plan long term, and they can't kind of have these lower tax rates of 20% and then have it's going to jump back up to 35% or something. They have to be able to plan long term, whereas individuals, don't have to. But that's a problem. If in fact you had a huge tax increase in starting in 2026, I think people wouldn't be very happy about that.
We're talking potential tax reform with America's Money Answers Man, Jordan Goodman.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Investors opened the trading week on the high side. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 72 points to 23,430. The NASDAQ Composite picked up 8 points to finish the session at 6790. The S&P 500 gained 3.25 points. Janet Yellen has submitted her resignation as chair of the Federal Reserve. President Trump has chosen Jerome Powell to head the monetary policymaking body. His confirmation hearing is scheduled for next week. The Justice Department has filed suit to block the AT&T acquisition of Time Warner, saying the merger would reduce competition and lead to higher consumer prices. AT&T Chief Randall Stephenson hints at a political element, considering President Trump's frequent run-ins with CNN, which is owned by Time Warner. Small town Humboldt, Tennessee is about to see an economic explosion. Tyson Foods plans to build a $300 million chicken production plant in the town of 8,000, creating 1,500 jobs by late 2019. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich on The Opening Bell here on 720 WGN. We're talking America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman, about America's new potential tax reform. So, Jordan, the Senate GOP bill increases the child tax credit to $1,650 per child. That's up from $1,000 today and slightly above the $1,600 proposed bill with the House. But the $650 increase won't be available to the lowest income families if they don't end up owing federal income tax, correct?
That's right. That's right. I mean, the bottom 50% of the population doesn't pay any tax anyway, so it's kind of hard to cut their taxes, Dave, if they're not paying any taxes. So that is correct.
For some business benefits, under the House legislation, the top corporate tax rate would be reduced from 35 to 20% and to 25% for certain pass-through businesses. Now, I'm a small business owner, and when I see that, my first instinct isn't to pocket the money and run. My instinct is to invest and hire some new employees to drive sales and my business, and that is a way to positively impact the job market, wouldn't you say?
Well, it is. I mean, the idea is to have these so-called pass-through entities, like a subchapter S corporation or an LLC. If you didn't change anything like that and give them that special 25% rate, then those people, small businesses, would be paying taxes at the high rates, as high as 39.6%. So you do want to encourage small businesses by having a lower tax rate, because they are the engine of growth. They're the ones that hire most people and have all the innovation and entrepreneurship going on. The problem may be everybody wants to become an LLC all of a sudden.
Yeah,
so
right.
They've got a whole bunch of complicated rules in there to kind of stop that from happening. So like regular employees can't all of a sudden become, you know, Dave Plyer Inc. while you're doing your job at WGN, if you see what I mean. So it's subject to some abuse there, potentially.
Senate Republicans also want to make it possible for businesses to immediately and fully expense new equipment for at least 5 years, which is similar to the House bill.
That's right. So that would be a big encouragement to companies to buy plant and equipment and update themselves and improve efficiency and include technology. So, yes, I think that would definitely be a boost to the economy to have companies be able to buy things and expense them right away. That's correct.
Jordan, you've been doing this a long time. Where do you think we're going to end up in all this?
It may not make it. We're very close. There are six senators that are kind of on the fence, Republican senators. There's going to be zero Democratic support for this whole thing. And they've all got different objections. And when you agree to have one of them be satisfied, somebody else is not going to be satisfied. For example, the individual mandate for buying health insurance was put in to please Rand Paul from Kentucky, but Susan Collins from Maine doesn't like that. Some of them don't like that this would make the deficit go up a lot. Everybody has different objections here, and you could only lose two of them. And again, there are six of them kind of in play. So it's going to be very dicey. Last week, Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, all of a sudden said he doesn't want to go for it because he thinks it favors big business too much against small business. That came out of the blue. And so he said at the current way the bill is, he would be a no. So it's going to be very, very dicey getting this thing through the Senate. And then after that, they've got to reconcile it with the differences from the House. So this is not by any means assured that this is going to make it.
Much more to come. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man. You can find him at moneyanswers.com. Jordan, thanks for breaking this all down for us, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Outcome Health, the embattled Chicago tech company under fire for misrepresenting the effectiveness of its ads, has offered buyouts to the majority of its employees. It's the latest blow to the once fast-growing Chicago tech company, which is currently being sued by its investors for fraud. A new Uber feature is rolling out in Chicago that makes it easier for passengers to find their drivers. Beacon, a device that goes on a driver's windshield, is designed to help drivers and riders more quickly connect in crowded areas. When matched with a driver, riders can select from a number of colors for the beacon to glow on a driver's car. And all this week, we're covering the startup scene in Ann Arbor, Michigan, giving you an inside look at the top tech companies and trends in the nearby Midwest Tech Hub. Check out ChicagoInno.com for more. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning once again. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich on The Opening Bell this morning. It is the holiday season and the busiest season for the toy industry. U.S. toy sales have grown to over $20 billion annually. Toy industry is dominated by five main players: Mattel, Namco, Bandai, Lego, Hasbro, and Jack's Pacific. American toy manufacturing company Mattel is the industry leader with the highest revenue among the major toy companies. Danish company Lego, closely followed by Mattel with about $5.4 billion in revenue. Tokyo-based Namco, strong in its domestic market, ranked third in terms of revenue. Hasbro and Jack's Pacific complete the top five. In the U.S., the toy sales are poised to grow 4.5% this holiday season, leading the pack like with toys like Hatchables, Fingerlings, Drop Mix, and everything Star Wars. But there are products that fall into the category of 10 worst toys of 2017 released each year by World Against Toys Causing Harm, or WATCH. Joan Siff is the president of WATCH and joins us this morning. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Dave.
You know, when I was growing up, I can quickly list games and toys that probably weren't the safest. But we didn't have a team like yours to keep a close eye on the industry. Tell me about how WATCH began.
Well, WATCH began, this is like our 45th year, because there was a need for it. Actually, originally, the founder of WATCH was asked to go testify in Washington about the state of the toy industry and if regulations were needed. And it was found then that basically it was unregulated and there was unsafe toys getting out there. So 45 years later, there's still some unsafe toys getting out there.
Now, this holiday season, consumers are expected to spend 51% of their holiday budget online, which means in most cases that parents or family or friends buying these toys don't really get to see them up close. They don't really get to read the boxes to help them make a purchasing decision, and that could spell some trouble.
That's true. You know, in this age of internet orders, which is so convenient to order gifts online, there's less hands-on examining of the toys. And one of the messages we want to get out this year is that if, when possible, ordering online, try to see that toy before it gets into the hands of kids, because you can really discover things when you read the warnings and examine the toy itself. And that's one of the purposes of the list. These toys are examples of the different types of potential hazards that parents can actually look for when they're buying toys.
Well, I was going to say, due to poor design, manufacturing, and marketing practices, there's toys available for purchase today that, you know, parents don't even know about, with the potential to lead to serious injury or death even. And because there are toys with inconsistent and those inadequate warnings, cautions, and age recommendations, which people sometimes don't read, as well as other classic safety hazards, but these things continue to reappear year after year, don't they?
It's really surprising. The manufacturers know the classic hazards that reappear, and these are things that can, in most cases, be designed out of the toys. The toys can be marketed better. I mean, one popular example are the fidget spinners, which some of them are designed effectively. They have small pieces that aren't supposed to come out, but they can come out, and that can pose a choking hazard that, when they come out, violates even the industry's small parts standard.
Now, before we get to the list of toys, let's talk a little bit about online shopping tips that you have.
So first, when possible, as I said, examine the toys. Also, beware, online, sometimes not all the warnings and instructions are posted online. Another reason it's important to look at the toy itself. And just the other thing is the consumer-to-consumer sites, Craigslist, popular sites to shop on. But just beware, sometimes recalled toys can resurface there, or toys that aren't in great condition and could break easily. So just another safety trap for parents to be aware of.
What about seeing product with little or no information online? Is that something you want to steer clear from?
Yes, yeah, especially if you're not going to have the opportunity to inspect that toy, which we hope parents do. But yes, and that's a recurring issue. It's I think a lot of parents and caregivers are assuming, or toy shoppers, when they go online, that there are checks and balances to make sure that they're getting all the information, but that's not always the case. just some inconsistencies about how much information you're getting.
I will tell you, I went through your list, and I want to talk a little bit about the list and breaking this down. I was surprised at some of these because they look – some of these the toys look quite harmless. But number one that you have on the list is from Hallmark. It's the Itty Bitties baby stacking toy. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. And you raise a great point. A lot of these toys look really innocent and harmless, but they definitely have some potential hazards. And the Itty Bitty stacking toy is a toy that has small fabric hats and bows on it. And it's sold to infants. And these pieces can detach. And when they detach, it's a potential for choking injury. Small parts, young children, it's an injury we warn about year, a hazard we warn about year after year. And it's a serious hazard for young children.
Second one is Pull Along Pony. And I remember, you know, years ago, Fisher Price used to have those toys where it'd be attached a rope to it and you'd walk it around the house. Those are serious choking hazards.
Yeah, this particular one has a 19-inch long string. And strings are an identified hazard for young children, so much so that crib toys cannot have strings that are over 12 inches long. But because this toy is not classified or marketed as a crib toy, it doesn't have to meet that standard. Yet it's sold similar hazard, sold to the same age group with a long string. So really, strings and young children, in our opinion, don't mix.
The third toy on the list is the Wonder Woman Battle Action Sword. It's from Mattel, available at Target, Toys R Us, and Walmart. It says its recommendation is 6+, but there's some parts issues, and it is a sword.
Yeah, I think this is a more traditional potential hazard. It's a hard plastic sword with the potential for blunt force injuries. I mean, it's sold to six-year-olds. We all know how six-year-olds play. You hand them a sword like this, it's one thing they're going to do with it. And in our opinion, it's a toy to avoid.
And then you mentioned the fidget spinners. There's also a Spider-Man Spider Drone official movie edition. You've got some blades that are moving quite quickly and can get caught in hair and other body parts, quite frankly.
Yeah, they have rotating blades that are moving at a high speed. And there's a warning in the toy that says, keep spinning rotors away from fingers, hair, eyes, and other body parts, including some other cautions and warnings. And this is new technology, but it's really a classic hazard of projectiles or flying toys that have the potential for body or eye impact injuries that could be quite serious.
The Nerf Zombie Strike Deadbolt Crossbow. just sounds dangerous. I mean, my kids have Nerf guns and all that stuff all over the house, but there's some serious issues with the impact once these are shot, in the eyes or faces of people or even animals.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's called a deadbolt may be a red flag.
Yeah.
You send parents running in the other direction anyway. But this says do not aim or shoot at eyes or face of people or animals, sold to eight-year-olds. Most adults don't have that accurate aim, nonetheless, eight-year-olds. So, again, in our opinion, a toy to avoid.
There's something called Slackers Online. You've also got an oval xylophone on here, and the hazard here is what, the drumstick?
Yes. A lot of parents know to stay away from small parts, but an unknown choking hazard are long, slender objects. This is a 9.5-inch long drumstick, and actually rattles have been recalled for a similar hazard because of that shape. And this is a potential hazard that we really want to make shoppers aware of this year.
You've also got something called Jet's Heel Wheels, and I've seen these around a little bit, but there's some serious issues with some sparking and some other things that happen with these shoes.
Yeah, yes, these attach onto sneakers and make them like the rear wheel roller skates in that essence. And this toy highlights the need to really get into the packaging before you give it to a child. Because when you get into the packaging, you see some warnings that may want you to stay away from this. Like if the sparks can burn, that may be a toy that you don't want to put into the hands of children.
There's also a Brianna baby doll as well. How do you possibly get through, knowing all the toys that are in the marketplace, how do you actually go through? What's the process for you to actually go through and identify all this?
Well, we know the categories of hazards that reappear year after year. So these aren't the only toys with potential hazards, but we try to pick, you know, one toy from each category, because the list is really a hands-on tool to help toy shoppers make more informed decisions. So unfortunately, we often find dolls sold to young children with parts that can be removed or that break off. And in this case, the Brianna baby doll, I mean, she looks innocent enough. She's a cute doll, but she has pink ponytail holders that are removable. And, I mean, really, everyone knows small parts, young children don't mix, and yet we still find toys like this.
Well, for more on Watch and this top 10 list, you can visit toysafety.org. Joan, thanks for your time this morning, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
And from the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow finished 72 points higher as Wall Street awaits tax reform details. In Europe, all the indices are mixed. Asia markets are trading higher following U.S. gains overnight. And oil prices were little change as the impact from expectations of an extended OPEC-led production cut was canceled out by rising U.S. output. And now for the latest on commodities and agriculture, here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning. We're getting down to the final weekly harvest progress reports of another growing season. And yesterday, the report showed 96% of the soybean crop has been harvested. 90% of the corn crop has been harvested. Several states in the Midwest with the harvest finished. Illinois, 100% harvested. Same for Minnesota, and the same for Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. All pretty much finished for the season. The winter wheat crop ratings, a little bit of a surprise in the fact that they dropped 2% from the previous week. And that means 52% of the winter wheat crop is now good to excellent. And soybeans came under pressure yesterday because of a stronger dollar that makes our exports a little more expensive. Turning to the livestock trade, there we saw the cattle market dropping again to a four-month low, and live cattle futures were impacted by the bearish cattle on feed report that came out on Friday. Now, as we look ahead to this Thanksgiving week, again, markets will be closed on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, and there will be no grain trading on Thursday evening. But electronic grain trading will resume Friday morning at 8:30, closing at 12 noon. Markets closed for Thanksgiving Day and closing early on Friday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. Now for the from the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, November 21st. Today we'll be looking for existing home sales report in the Chicago Fed National Activity Index. Tomorrow, the jobless claims report is due. As for earnings, today we'll be looking for reports from Campbell's Soup, Hormel Foods, Lowe's, and Signet Jewelers. And just a reminder, markets are closed, as Orion said, on Thanksgiving Day and open until noon on Friday. And today is Hello World Day. World Hello Day may sound extremely basic, as it encourages us to take the opportunity to simply greet people and to recognize how important simple communication is in our daily lives, especially with all of our cell phones and iPads and our laptops and email. The story of how it came to be, however, is a long and interesting one. World Hello Day was first created in 1973 in order to show people that conflicts can and should be resolved through communication and not violence. The idea is that clear, honest communication breeds peace. Participating in World Hello Day is quite simple. All you have to do is say hello to at least 10 people during this one day. This is supposed to send a message of openness and goodwill to others and create that the holiday that was a small gesture alone would demonstrate how communication can be instrumental in resolving disputes and preventing conflicts. Time tends to be a greater healer, so if enough time has passed from your conflict for you to be able to analyze the situation from all aspects, seeing your own faults and wrongdoings, as well as those from the other party, maybe it's time to put those conflicts behind you.